following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Broncos had third down and 9 at the Kansas City 47. Stepping up is Manning. Deep throw far side. The pass is going to be an intercepted off the deflection.
On that wintry December night, one season ago, the favorites had all they could handle.
Smith looks right. Puts it for the end zone for Hemingway. He's got it on a back shoulder throw. Davis with more power and speed. He's across the 20. Up the middle 30. Runs into the kicker. Now moves right. He can go at the 50. Chiefs are blitzing. Manning under pressure. Pass near side for Decker. Picked off by Cooper. Now fires over the middle. Fasano's got it. Great catch at the back of the end zone.
But as great teams often do, they had an answer.
Lofts a pass near side. Jamarius Thomas burns Cooper 40. He's at the 50. Manning floats a pass for Cooper on the right side. And the pass is caught by Decker for a touchdown. Four touchdown catches for Eric Decker.
You had to hand it to them. Their offense was historic.
Sidestepping, swing pass, Niall Davis in the flat. 30-yard line, 25, explodes inside the 20. Now a screen pass right side to Charles at the 20. Good block by Schwartz. Your handoff, Charles left side. He dives over the stack of Broncos. Touchdown, Kansas City.
But they make you play all four quarters for a reason.
Third down for the Broncos. 3:45 left in the game. 35-28 Denver.
They got to have this play.
Play action fake. Manning now. They're going to throw a screen. It's incomplete. Zombo knocks it down with his left hand. And now the Chiefs have a chance. Down 7. Alex Smith is throwing long. He's throwing for Jenkins, who makes the catch. They play action fake to Charles. They're going to throw over the middle. McCluster. He makes a diving catch at the Bronco 42. Shotgun snap back to Alex Smith. Back charge to throw. Caught by Bo. 4th and 4, Kansas City at the Bronco 13.
Their valiant effort came up just short.
Holds it. Fires it late for the end zone. The pass is broken up, intended for Bo.
But as the two teams meet again here in 2014, we're reminded of their history. The clashes over the years between great teams, great players, when legends were made, and the stories we still tell today began. With these two teams, with this much history, anything can happen.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. You know, the National Football League is full of challenges. Sometimes it happens week 8, sometimes week 9, for sure week 15 and 16 in the playoffs. And then there's times it happens week 1. That's where the Chiefs are at as they get ready for their second game to go on the road to face the team that shattered most of the NFL offensive records last year, the Denver Broncos. Couple that with the fact that the Chiefs, after losing to the Tennessee Titans 26-10 last week, lost two of their key players on defense. The most notable, Derek Johnson, the future Chiefs Hall of Famer, who went down and lost for the season with an Achilles injury. So is Mike DeVito, the defensive end in front of him. This is the Fight Back edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider, and we'll talk with the guy that has to pick up the leadership on the defense. Eric Berry, the 3-time Pro Bowler, was the leader of the secondary. Now he'll have to take responsibility for the entire defense. Plus, we'll talk with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. What does he have planned to try to slow down the Denver Broncos? And how does he account for the loss of Derek Johnson and Mike DeVito, particularly psychologically and from the leadership standpoint? But first, let's bring in Chiefs reporter B.J. Kissel to get you ready for this first big division showdown of the 2014 season.
Let's talk about the Chiefs' upcoming opponent this week, divisional rival, the Denver Broncos. Now, it's hard to talk about the Denver Broncos without talking about quarterback Peyton Manning, one of the best to ever play the game. But Manning and the Denver Broncos offense and what we saw in week 1 against the Indianapolis Colts is a little bit different than what we've seen from this offense in the past. Last year, over 70% of their plays were in 11 personnel, meaning they had 3 wide receivers out on the field. The majority of the time last season, that was wide receivers Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Eric Decker. Well, Wes Welker won't play in this game as he is serving a 4-game suspension, and we know Eric Decker left for the New York Jets during the offseason. While they did bring in Emmanuel Sanders from the Pittsburgh Steelers, we still saw a little bit different setup from the Broncos last week against the Colts. 56% of the time against the Colts, the Broncos offense was in 12 personnel, meaning they had two tight ends out on the field. We know one of those guys was Julius Thomas, who was just named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week after he caught 7 passes for 104 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the other player, Virgil Green, last year played just 22% of the offensive snaps for the Broncos. Last week against the Colts, 56% of the plays he was out on the field. So while the Chiefs go up against the familiar face in Peyton Manning, the personnel surrounding him may be a little different than they're used to. Everybody knows about the gaudy numbers that Manning put up last season. Over 5,400 yards, 55 touchdowns, broke all kinds of records. But what a lot of fans don't necessarily realize is that a lot of those big plays aren't coming from passes down the field. Peyton Manning has been very good at throwing the ball underneath accurately to get yards after the catch from his receivers. Last week against the Colts, of his 36 passes, only 11 of them traveled beyond 10 yards down the field. We know he likes to get rid of the ball quickly. Last year against the Chiefs, it was 1.7 seconds is how long it took him to get the ball out of his hands. Against the Colts in week 1, it was 1.95 seconds. I had a chance to talk with safety Eric Berry about going up against Manning and about how quickly he gets rid of the ball. Berry told me that it's about disrupting timing, that you can't really stop Peyton Manning, but if you can slow him down and just disrupt that timing a little bit, you have a chance to be successful against him. In 2013, Peyton Manning completed 62% of his passes against the blitz. In week 1, the Indianapolis Colts blitzed Manning 41% of the time, and Manning only completed 50% of those passes. Now, while that's a very small sample size, that is something to note as the Chiefs get ready to play them on Sunday. Looking back, the Chiefs defense blitzed quarterback Jake Locker of the Tennessee Titans 31% of the time. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to go after Peyton Manning, but we do know that the Chiefs' best chance of success against Peyton Manning is to disrupt their timing and make him uncomfortable.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
The term we use is affect the quarterback. One is pressure. Obviously, the greatest one is sacks. You know, whether it's him, the receivers, or whatever, there's just a little bit of uncertainty as you go back.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Chiefs defensive coordinator Bob Sutton spent 17 years of his coaching career at West Point, 9 of those as a head coach. And when you coach at Army, it's not just about football. It's about training leaders and being a leader. Now, just 1 week into the Chiefs season, Bob Sutton has to deal with one of the main principles of leadership, dealing with adversity.
Bob, you're at West Point a long time, so you're around leaders. You had to train leaders. But now you've lost Derek Johnson, the leader of the defense. How do you compensate?
Well, I think anytime you suffer an injury like that and a loss like that, and, you know, it does touch a lot of areas. It's not only the football player, but it's the guy that sits in those rooms, you know, whether it's the full defense, the team, or is in his linebacker room. So the only real way you can do it is, I think, one, you can't force someone else to be in that position. That comes naturally. Sometimes it comes through years of being in a position like Derek's been. But I think historically, it usually draws something out of someone in your unit to step up. And so I think we have a lot of really quality people in our room. And I think there's going to be either through a group effort in that area or somebody else that sometimes, you know, when that opening happens, you take advantage of it. And like I said, it has to be natural. It can't be forced. I can't just say, hey, I'm going to go be the leader. It's just the way you do your business. And that's how Derek became a leader, so to speak. As you know, it's the way he does his business every day, how he prepares and that. And I think the same is going to be true for the people that end up, you know, stepping up in that role.
How encouraged were you? You get four sacks. You had some good pressures in week one. Now you're going into play maybe the best quarterback ever to play in the NFL. But three of your four sacks were from your front people. How encouraged were you by that?
Well, I think, you know, that's always a positive thing, you know, and one of the things I think you're always trying to do defensively is you're trying to, you know, mix the combinations of pressures, four-man rushes, sometimes three-man rushes, you know, have the same effect as long as the quarterback will hold the ball. So you're trying to vary the way you're trying to, the term we use is affect the quarterback, you know, and you try to affect him a lot of ways. One is pressure. Obviously the greatest one is sacks, you know, but how you affect him, whether it's he's got to sort through these different combinations of things that we're going to try to do, which, you know, slows him down. And then the other way is you affect him coverage. If you got tight coverage, you know, those receivers aren't as open and he might have to wait one click more, you know, which a lot of times is the difference between getting it. Disguising is a big part of that same thing. Again, so whether it's him, the receivers, or whatever, there's just a little bit of uncertainty as you go back. Because as you know, whether you're dealing with a guy like Peyton, who's totally awesome at this, you fight like heck not to let them know before the ball snapped exactly what's going to happen. They're going to figure it out. But at least make them figure it out on the way back, you know, not when they're sitting up there licking their chops.
Final question. Again, I always revert back to your West Point time because I'm fascinated by it because you train leaders. But there's a challenge now to leadership. How do you handle it going forward as a basically a mid-manager leader being a defensive coordinator?
Well, I think the one is, and I think, again, you know, traditionally, I think when you get in these spots, you know, where we've lost a couple key players from our standpoint, and again, not just the player on the field, but how he affects our rooms, you know, which is, you know, really important. I think you got to go to other people within the group and you let them, there's a void right now in there. And somebody's going to find their way to that position. And it usually brings out the best in somebody if you got the right group of guys, and I think we do. So I think we'll find somebody, and I'm not sure who that's going to be, but I think we'll find somebody that steps up and says, hey, this is it. He doesn't have to be a rah-rah guy. He doesn't have to be a vocal, but he'll end up winning the respect of the people around him by the way he plays, the way he prepares, and because that's how those other guys are. That's how they got to those positions, the way they prepared, the way they played, the way they performed. And so now we just need to cultivate another thing, and when we get those other guys back, we should be much stronger because of it.
Playing at Arrowhead Stadium can be tough for opposing teams. But on the first football Sunday since 9/11, the Chiefs' kingdom rose to its feet to cheer the visiting New York Giants. Their support didn't stop with a standing ovation. Fans passed a fireman's boot around Arrowhead, collecting over $220,000 in donations for relief efforts. The Chiefs matched that mark for a grand donation of over $450,000, the largest single-day outpouring of support by a group of fans ever.
There's no stadium like Arrowhead on game day, but it was different on that day. And I promise you, every person in that stadium that day said, home of the brave, rather than home of the Chiefs at the end of the national anthem.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
Everybody got to bring their A game because it's going to bring the best out of us, I believe. We got to believe in something so big that we put our whole entire effort into dominating teams.
Welcome back to the show. Well, the Chiefs in Week 2 now have to go a mile above sea level to take on a hated division rival, the Denver Broncos. But let's be honest. Give the Broncos a compliment with maybe the best NFL quarterback of all time in Peyton Manning. Plus, they can attack the Chiefs in a lot of different ways. One big key of handling the Bronco offense is the Chiefs' three-time Pro Bowler, Eric Berry, who also has to deal with Julius Thomas, one of the best tight ends in the entire National Football League.
So the Tennessee Titans come into Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs by a score of 26-10 as they go to a knee. And there are a lot of storylines here.
All the things that happen, they're, you know, very fixable. Things that we can handle, things that we can correct. I think it's actually bringing us closer together as a team. You know, it didn't go the way we wanted, but, you know, we just got out of meetings and just talked about how we could fix it as a unit, as a team. And I think it's getting us going in the right direction. We're not far off. We got all the players we need. We got the coaches we need. We got everything that we could possibly want in a team. All it's going to take is us coming together and just imposing our will on the other team. So just got to use good technique and trust yourself, trust your training, and trust your coaches. Like, we got great coaches. Al Harris, who's been helping us with our press technique and stuff like that, and just, you know, man coverage. I think he's been a big help to us, you know, just staying sound in those areas. And as long as we keep doing that and just keep watching film together and keep playing as one unit, one cohesive unit, I think we'll be good.
They're bringing the trophy home. Super Bowl 48 champion.
I think those guys believe so much that they can go out there and beat the Broncos. They went out there and did it. Just their culture that they built up there as far as what they wanted to do. And they went out and did it. And it's the same way here. We got to do the same thing, man. Week in and week out, not just with these guys, but we got to believe in something so big that we put our whole entire effort into dominating teams. And I think we're on our way to doing that. Man, he's seen a lot of football. That's a guy that every coverage, every blitz, every front, he's seen it all. So it's going to be kind of hard to trick him. Everything they do is based off timing, based off rhythm. Peyton's going to put the ball where it needs to go. So if you're getting rid of the ball that fast, it's got to be a timing route. So anytime you can knock them off their course or knock the timing out, I think that'll make it very difficult for them to move the ball. You know, we have the opportunity coming up this weekend to try to get that done.
The guy who has been the heart and soul of the Kansas City Chiefs defense through thick and thin for 10 years suffers a serious Achilles injury. Mike DeVito, an 8-year veteran, also suffers an Achilles injury.
That's a tough situation to deal with, not only with one of your players, but two of your players. And then, you know, you got a guy like DJ who's been here so long and put in so much time, so much work. And he's been the nucleus of our defense, you know, just a lot of things that he's done on and off the field as well. So just seeing it happen like that and so early in the season, not just for the team, but for him, I know how hard he worked and how much time he put in. So same thing with DeVito, one of the guys who I feel like is one of the anchors in this defense, and he puts the team on his back. So we depend on those guys for a lot, but just like the guys that play behind them, they got to step up. Not just them, but everybody. Everybody got to bring their A game because it's going to bring the best out of us, I believe. And the biggest thing I told them is just, it's still football at the end of the day. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes, but that's the best way to learn. And it's even better when you make those mistakes full speed. So somebody will be there to clean it up for you. Just don't make the same mistake twice. And, you know, we'll correct it on the sideline, but don't go out there thinking you're not good enough to play in this league, because we got all the pieces we need. It's just going to take us a little bit more focus and awareness and, you know, a little tenacity too. So I think we can handle it.
Thanks for joining us on this week's show. I mentioned at the beginning, it's the Fight Back edition of Insider. That's been the theme all week long from head coach Andy Reid, calling upon his 15 years of experience in this league as a head man. Now, the Chiefs do get some people back. Marcus Cooper at cornerback and wide receiver Dwayne Bowe comes off his one-game suspension. Nobody in the NFL gives the Chiefs a chance this week against Denver. We'll see. And in week 3, the Chiefs go on the road to take on the surprising Miami Dolphins. And we'll get you ready for a trip to South Beach right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community.
Trap.